Sci-Fi and Color, the podcast about science fiction, TV, and film, featuring actors, directors, and writers of color. My name is Maggie.
And I'm Melissa. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at sfincolor@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Tumblr, and Twitter as SF in Color. And this week we are back into the Badlands with Silver Moon, Red something?
You flip the order. It's Red Sun, Silver Moon.
See, I have it in front of me, and I didn't even look at it.
Which is, for me, I find the title to be very Pokemon-esque, so... I know they did Pokemon Sun and Moon, like, end of last year. I'm gonna look it up now, because I'm so sure. Pokemon Sun and Moon. I don't know if they designated colors, but they did not.
So, okay, Red Sun, Silver Moon. Well, Silver Moon is obvious, right? Silver Moon is Nathaniel Moon.
Oh, right. See, which is... I watched this episode, like, a week ago. And then also... So Nathaniel Moon is the character who ends up getting his hand
He's the regent.
Off.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Red Sun. I feel like that's such a super vague, like, orientalist type of thing. Because when I think of Red Sun, I think of, like, usually, like, Japan... I mean, typically in Asian cultures, the sun is considered red, not yellow. So it just so vague and like.
Yeah, so that could be anyone.
Blah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it could be like the widow. It could be like Quinn. I don't know.
I don't know if anyone's the Red Sun in this episode. I think they just needed... They weren't just going to call it Silver Moon, so they wanted to be like, oh, let's make it like super yin and yang and be like Red Sun, Silver Moon. Again, so, to me it sounds very like Pokemon. So
I can see that. What did you think of the episode?
What did I think of the episode? I thought it was very like blah and lackluster. And... I didn't take too many notes because there just wasn't much to report on. It just felt like... I don't know if I would say filler, but it just felt like...
No, filler's a good word.
There wasn't any new thematic stuff being explored. So... I just watched it and was like, eh. It's okay.
Yeah, I had a pretty similar reaction, honestly. It was... okay, and like I think the writing was pretty good and nothing was bad, it just nothing really stood out either. Like the episode ended and I was like, oh, what's happened?
Yeah, there wasn't anything really new. I mean, and even the cinematography, there was nothing really stand out in this episode for me,
so. There were a few moments which I really liked. I think one of the times when Nathaniel Moon like threw the knife and it, like, slit a guy's throat, or, like, they did this upside-down thing with it. I don't know if you remember that.
Maybe I zoned out during that part.
It was, like, right when he was introduced, I think. But that was the only moment that really, like, grabbed me.
Right, I mean, his intro scene was pretty striking. But other than that, it was kind of, whatever.
No, yeah, it was nothing special.
Yeah.
It's weird. You know, like... It wasn't a bad episode. I wouldn't say it was a bad episode anyway.
Yeah.
I would say it was just, is it better to be bad or is it better to be okay?
Mediocre.
Exactly. Forgettable.
Yeah.
Because, like, this episode was a lot more forgettable than, like, some of the previous episodes in the previous season. Mm-hmm. But I can undeniably say that the writing is still better.
Oh, yeah. They kept the pace of the story is so much faster than last season. They're keeping things
moving.
It's
so much better.
Generally. I know this episode we didn't really get to see too much of the other characters. I mean, we got some more, I guess, Vale and Quinn stuff. Yeah. And we had a little bit of MK. But we didn't go too much with... too into depth with like Ryder or Tilda/the Widow.
Like,
we got a little bits of them, but it wasn't like the previous episode where it was a little bit more evenly spaced out or distributed rather. So, yeah, I mean, I was kind of excited because I thought maybe Nathaniel Moon was going to be, like, the Sandy character from Journey to the West, rather.
I thought so, too.
I thought it was him because I was like, oh, he's, like, at a river.
No. I had the same thought. I had in my notes. I was like, oh, my gosh, like, we're assembling, like, the Avengers.
Yeah, I was like, oh, maybe he's going to join their team. But no, Sonny cuts his hand off, so no. That doesn't really work.
I was really disappointed, honestly.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this character had so much potential. He could have been integrated into the group, you know? That would have been so cool.
I mean, I get that he would play the same role as Sonny, so I can understand why, like, he seems extraneous. But, like, he had so many cool things to explore. Like, I was totally game to explore
him. Yeah. Because it was nice seeing someone else who was an ex-Clipper. Who was kind of in a similar situation as Son. Oh, sorry, I just saw a bug and I want to kill it, so. I usually murder it. My desk, but I don't see it.
Kill.
Sorry about that. Tried to kill a bug that was on my wall and I don't know where it went. So,
keeping it real.
Nathaniel Moon had a lot of potential to be a really interesting addition to the cast, but. The writers did not want to go in that direction, so.
Clearly.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe we'll see him again, but it seems unlikely.
I mean, I feel like we won't because he's introduced as a fighter. And so, by cutting off his hand.
His, like, dominant hand, too.
Yeah, like, it doesn't bode very well for him.
Yeah.
Like, his purpose, otherwise.
Oh, I see, right? Because if he were to join. If he were to join their journey, they would need him to fight.
Yeah, I feel like that's why he would. And I get it that, like, he would play the same role as Sonny, so that's why they didn't want to, like, incorporate him, but I liked him. I wanted to see more of him.
Yeah. But again, I'm not extremely familiar with the story, but from what I know, Sandy is basically just Pigsy, but, like, more serious. So, because Pigsy's supposed to be the fat, womanizing, hilarious character. But he and Sandy are basically the same type of character. They're just kind of there to, I guess, redeem themselves by being,
I mean,
the monk's bodyguard, basically.
I mean,
so
Nathaniel Moon needs redemption.
That's why I was so hopeful that he could have been the Sandy character. I did think, oh, his weapon isn't exactly the same weapon that Sandy has. So, I was excited initially, and then I was like, wait, but he doesn't have the same weapon. But then I know, you know, Pigsy or Badgy doesn't have his hoe/rake type weapon. So, and I don't know if he's gonna get a weapon like that later in the series. So it's not like, again, we already know that the show isn't one-to-one with Journey to the West. So I'm trying not to be too, like, oh, he has to have this weapon or whatever. But I thought the fact that they met him at a bridge was significant enough that I thought that maybe it was that character.
I really hoped, and honestly, I hoped till the end of the episode when, like, they left, and I was like, oh, guess not.
That's too bad. Because I don't know how they're gonna, if they do introduce Sandy, I don't know how they're gonna do it, because it would essentially be the same. Like, I would imagine it would be the same type of setting. Like, it would be at a... Oh, and that also brings me to another point. That bridge was over a bunch of rocks. What the heck? Did you notice that?
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't even over a river. They didn't even need to go over the bridge.
Okay, so the way that... Like, okay, so when you look down from the bridge, you see, like, all the rocks, but I just kind of inferred that there was water by, like, nearby. You know what I mean? Like, there's just, like, a big river bank.
It literally looked like the bridge was over a dry group of rocks. But
I have
maybe
no idea.
I'm not. Maybe I just wasn't paying attention.
I have no
I'm
idea.
Just like, how? What?
Maybe
I
they're
mean,
just like, these rocks are too much. We need to build a bridge.
Sorry?
Somebody was like, these rocks are too much. It's time to build a bridge over the rocks.
So unnecessary. I guess maybe the river could have dried up. That's a possibility.
Oh!
But then again, I don't know why he was like, oh, you have to get through me to get over this bridge. They literally could have walked down river that wasn't a river and crossed over there.
Does that sound like Sunny, though?
No, it doesn't.
Sunny's like, I'm going to make this as difficult as possible for myself.
Honestly. He's kind of annoying sometimes. Nathaniel Moon was such an... He could have been so much more... Like, the fact that he was a Clipper, like...
Yeah.
What? That's crazy.
Yeah. Though, I mean, like, in the story about his family, like, that was some twisted-ish, man. Like, it gave me very, like, Gladiator vibes.
The movie?
Did you ever see Gladiator? It's, people like it. I don't see it.
But it's like but the whole Avenger family thing, right? Because
yep.
They're going to be targeted.
That's essentially what it is.
Or whatever.
Yeah. So. Do you want to get into Sunny then? Because we're already.
Sure.
Diving deep.
Again, it's all kind of fuzzy in my head. I don't know if you saw it more recently than I did.
Yes.
Okay. So if you want to lead the discussion, just to jog my memory.
I will. I was born to lead the discussion. Okay, first, can I just say, Sunny and Badgy are such good foils. Like, they're so good. And I don't really love Badgy as a character, but I like him in relation to Sunny.
Yeah.
You know? Like, in the very beginning of the episode, I think Badgy says something like, oh, something will turn up. Like, they're like, you know, they're potentially lost. And Badgy's like, the universe will figure it out for me. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's so opposite of Sunny, but as they play off of each other, they bring out new sides.
Yeah. Any specific examples you can think of?
Of bringing out new sides?
Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking, like, when they were at Nathaniel Moon's abode.
Mm-hmm.
Was it a house? A shack?
Something.
A whatever. Some kind of shelter that does not matter. Focus. I think when they were talking about, like, Sunny shaving,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. It was just something about Sunny just felt lighter. Maybe he really hated his facial hair. It could have been that.
I like the new haircut.
Yeah, I liked it too. I could totally dig it. And he was, like, clean for the first time the whole season, mm-hmm. so respect. but he was, I don't know, he was more open with Badgy, and he was just...
Nathaniel or we've always Sunny?
Sunny.
Okay.
And he was, every time I've seen him, he is so freaking serious. Like, he doesn't know how to smile, like, 95% of the time.
From Pocahontas or something.
Yeah. But
sorry, obligatory reference.
No, it's good. I think they will continue to bring out, like, you know, new sides. And, like, I don't really care as much about Badgy, but Sunny presumably will teach him something.
I find their friendship, their burgeoning friendship, kind of interesting. I mean, clearly they're gonna trust each other more than, even though, like, literally Badgy betrayed Sunny maybe only a few days earlier. They're gonna trust each other more than they're gonna trust this random new guy, right? So yep. It was kind of, like, nice to see them kind of take stock of the situation and be like, I don't know, I find it so weird and funny. No, I don't know if funny is the right word, but I find it so weird that Nathaniel was just, like, fine with leaving them, like, by themselves to discuss stuff. Because, like, that's the exact situation you wouldn't want them to be in, right?
That's true.
So, I'm just like, what is the, like, you didn't even really have to go that far away to clean your sword. You know? Like, what was the purpose of that?
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, okay, plot-wise it's happening because Sunny needs to talk to Badgy about what's going on, but it doesn't actually make any sense, because you think Nathaniel would want to be within earshot in case they're colluding or something. But
I mean, I guess he just doesn't think of them. Well, okay, he either doesn't think of them as a threat, which is stupid because he saw Sunny fight, or he wants to fight Sunny, so he doesn't really care if they collude. Though I guess they could just slit his throat at night, but
I guess he just doesn't think that's... Or a previous, you know, ex-clipper. I think he's probably well-versed in defending himself.
Yeah, so maybe he's just, like, totally extra, not like, worth it.
You literally could have been... Like, he could have been cleaning his sword while maybe talking to them about... I mean, trying to gain their trust.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a weird combo. But, like, I don't know.
I don't know. It doesn't seem like he has a long-term plan. He's just a guy that was meant to initiate a better friendship between the two of them, which is really unfortunate. Yeah. Like, I really liked how he and Sunny, like, got each other, you know?
Nathaniel?
Yeah, Nathaniel. I really liked that, even though, like, I think Nathaniel was pointing me in the wrong direction, obviously. Like, he's like, don't find your family. I'm like, don't listen to that.
And he didn't, so I'm glad. It makes sense, though.
No, it does.
But that's not satisfying to us, the audience.
Right, exactly. Like, logically, that actually might make sense, though. Knowing what's going on with Vale, I would probably disagree. But from Sunny's point of view, I could see why that would make sense. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we don't want that. I'm a Sunny Vale shipper.
Sunny Vale. So, are we, I guess, by the end of this little mini plot with Sunny, Badgie, and Nathaniel, do we think that Sunny is going to try to find Vale? Because I have to assume that he's still going to do it, because then it's like, what's the point of the season, you know? Like, he's going to be like, no, I'm not. I mean, I could see maybe it could be interesting to see him struggle with that idea.
I think he's going to have to struggle with it, but ultimately he's still going through with his plan to go back into the Badlands, you know? Mm-hmm. And maybe it's just because he doesn't want Vale to think that he's abandoned her and, you know, their child, but it seemed... You know, like, Nathaniel Moon just kind of turned out to be an obstacle Sunny had to face. And it was just kind of the physical manifestation of his fears of whether he should go back at all. Yeah. I mean, it got the job done, but Nathaniel Moon was too good for this. Like, the character, Nathaniel Moon, Silver Moon, Legendary Regent, like... You could have been better, and you're just here to make Sunny prove a point.
Yeah, I feel like there could have been a different disposable character for that, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm kind of, I kind of hope we see him again, but I know what you mean, it just seems very unlikely that that would happen.
Yeah. You never know.
But you never know. I mean, like, I feel like the fact, well, because, like, I see the bug again. Let me kill it. I don't know. I have mixed feelings about the character, because he was so cool! He could have been so much more. But, alas, it was not meant to be. And he very, it's just so sad to see his hand just get lopped off. Like, that's such a, I don't know. It almost feels like it's, like, disgraceful to the character. Like, he should deserve
I agree.
Not that I mean, I get that Sunny's not about killing people anymore, you know? Like, I get that. He's changed.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like I kind of almost agree with him. Like, it feels like he did deserve to die an honorable death or something. You know? Now he's just, like, a dude with, like, no right hand.
That's true. Like, no, I know.
It's just and, almost, you know, like, as... it's, like, so, such an undignified way. He isn't even dead. Like, it's just, like, oh, now I have to live my life because I did this stupid thing. And provoked Sunny, essentially.
Yeah, basically. I mean, the fact that the fact that Nathaniel and Sunny had to fight was, like, one of those show inevitabilities,
you
know?
Right, right.
Because, like, every time they introduce a good fighter, Sunny has to fight them. That's the rule. I don't make the rules, that's just the rule.
Sunny hasn't fought Tilda yet, right?
I don't think Tilda is quite on
Sunny's level.
Yeah. Sunny's level. He would, like, mop the floor with her. Because, like, true. He went to toe-to-toe with the Widow.
Right.
But like, obviously the two of them had to fight, Sunny and Nathaniel, but I just had wished it'd been a few more episodes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, just have him for a little longer before you just lock his hand. Like, I said, what is he going to do now, right? Because, like, he had a purpose, kind of. Like, he had a wife and child, and then they died, and he kind of went back to clipping or whatever. At least he was, like, doing something. You know, he was, like, guarding the bridge, or he had some kind of weird...
He was like a troll.
Motivation or goal. Yeah. But, like, now it's like, well, what are you going to do? You're just going to... Okay, you can't even fight. I mean, you could train your left hand, but, like, literally, what are you going to do? Also, that leads me to the idea of, like, where are the people getting food? Because...
I did have that thought.
If... I mean, I don't know if it's going to be, like, that much harder for him to get food and provide for himself now that he can only use his non-dominant hand. But, yikes. That's a pretty... That's pretty rough.
That'd be a slow, painful death. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure he could still, like,
provide.
Hunt or something. He's yeah. probably is not completely useless with his left hand, but still.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you have any more notes about Badgie, Sunny, Nathaniel?
I have a few. So, I liked that we found someone who had more kills than Sunny. Mm-hmm. So he had, you know, 999, so he's saving 1,000 for a special someone. But then they mentioned it. Yeah, right?
Also, Sunny, where's he going to find his tattooer? Or
that's true.
A tattoo.
I guess it's more, like, inside. Like, he would know. I don't know.
I guess. I mean, he could also rig up some kind of homemade thing, but...
Ew. Anyway, let's not think about that.
You were saying you like the fact that he has more kills than Sunny.
I mean, like, way more. Like, he has over double. Like, Sunny had 404. So...
Was it 100, like, 444 or something ridiculous?
404.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, 400. So, like, that's over double what he had. And so, like, I understand that that makes, like, oh, he's able to defeat Nathaniel. Like, that makes that more meaningful. But that's why I wanted him to stick around longer, because it's like...
I don't know if necessarily killing more people means you're more skilled.
At least you have more experience.
Sure, sure.
That's the... Yeah.
That's true. Because clearly Sunny was able to best him, so...
Yeah. But, I mean, they talk about the philosophy of killing and how, like, you know, God's the greatest killer of all. So... It was interesting, because the show has brought up religion a number of times. They have that weird cult thing that Lydia's a part of, and...
Not anymore.
Well, Lydia was a part of...
Yeah, during the off-season.
Honestly. Off-season religion.
But, yeah, it's true. It's kind of nice to see that Sunny still has... Well, Sunny never lost his groove, so... I can't even say that.
He didn't lose his groove, but he's gaining some kind of conscience, and I'm like, I appreciate this.
Right, he's no longer... I mean, he still killed people on the bridge, right? But that was more of a self-defense mechanism. Yeah. When he's, you know, challenged with this duel, and this guy's like, I literally want you to kill me, and he's like, no. Like, yes, it's a little bit... Again, I did talk earlier about how it was like, oh, it wasn't even, it just felt like an injustice to Nathaniel, but it did feel like a win on Sunny's part, because he's trying to stop that, right? He's trying to stop being a killer.
Yeah, it's definitely showing Sunny's progress. Mm-hmm. Hopefully Badgie will also help, like, kind of tame him a little bit.
Humanize him.
He's a little aggressive.
Yeah, like, we don't even really know, like, before, I guess, like, before MK came along, did Sunny even have friends? You know what I mean? And even MK is not really a friend. MK is more of like a
apprentice, almost.
Apprentice or like son kind of figure. Vale is, you know, his romantic love interest. Yeah. So I guess Badgie is like, it's a, in a weird kind of way, like Badgie's like the first friend we're seeing for Sunny.
Aww.
Which is really, it's interesting, isn't it?
Weird.
Like, it's weird.
Yeah.
Because like, I don't know how old Daniel Wu is, but dude looks to be in his, like, 30s, you know?
Maybe
late
something.
30s or something. Now I want to look it up. So it's like, okay. Oh, you're, like, you're an adult, and you this is probably your first real, like, friendship, right? Because he's probably, you know, he has to deal with the Clippers and, what's his face, Waldo. Yes, his name is Waldo.
I made a note of that.
But we've never seen Sonny, like, interact with people, like, as, like, friends, you know?
Yeah, like, an equal, almost. Yeah. I mean, like, they're not
equals. Because other Clippers are not his friends. They're right. They're just, like, co-workers.
Yeah, exactly. He's the manager. offices are sad.
Right, I was looking up his age. So, he is, let's see. 74 is the year he was born in.
I was like, he's not 74. He's not 74. That doesn't seem right at all.
He is 43. My bad.
I would have guessed late 30s,
but he is 43. So it's like, oh, this is so weird seeing him, like, actually have a friendship for once.
Yeah.
You know?
You know what one of my favorite parts of the episode was?
What?
When Sonny and Nathaniel are about to fight, and Sonny goes to, or tells Badgie to tell Vale that, like, he loves her.
Oh my god, like, that's so typical, though.
What?
That's like a typical, like, action movie thing to do. Like, oh, we're separated, but if you ever find my lover, tell her of my love for her. Like, okay. Same thing happened in freaking Star Trek 2009, man!
But we don't hear Sonny talking about how he loves Vale very much, you know?
That's true. But it's because he has to keep a secret. Like, he couldn't let people know he was in a relationship.
No. But, like, he shows it with Vale. But I don't remember him ever really saying it. I don't know. He may have said it before, but...
Right. Well, he's that stoic kind of guy, right? And
yeah.
And again, I think the fact that he had to keep it secret or else... You know, Quinn was going to kill his child and maybe his...
Awkward.
...girlfriend. Like, that's kind of, you know, maybe another reason why he had to keep it on the DL.
No, it definitely makes sense, but he's just kind of been reticent to share his feelings and...
That's, like, typical Sonny, though.
No. I feel like it just showed, like, growth.
Mm.
And the fact that he's had to really fight for Vale... You know, like, getting back into the Badlands and all that stuff. He's really having to fight for this relationship. And it's, I think, proving how much...
For the first time ever, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's proving how much Sonny actually cares about it.
Yeah.
Instead of it wasn't just, like, a really relationship of convenience.
I never saw
it. Which, obviously,
that
I don't think so.
I never saw it that way. They never played it that way, you know?
No, they didn't. But, I mean...
But it was possible.
Think about how different...
It was possible.
Long-distance relationships are hard.
And it's been 6 months, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Any more
here,
about that?
Let me ask you something.
What?
Let me ask you something. Did you think that the slow motion was too much?
Again, it's been a while. Jog my memory.
Like, right before Nathaniel and Sonny have, like, their epic showdown... There's, like, I don't know, a solid minute of slow motion pre-battle, like, them, like, getting into formation.
Oh.
And, like, okay, I get it, you're hyping us up, but, like, dudes, you can overdo the slow motion. That's my opinion.
I don't think
other people can
it,
have
I
other opinions.
Too much. I think I thought it was fine.
Yeah.
But it was too much for you?
Okay. It was a little bit too much. And, like, some of their fights, like, I really like the fight scenes, but they are seriously, like, so extra. Like...
But that's, like, the whole point of, like, that tradition, that, like, kung fu movie tradition, is that it's supposed to be way too much. Like, no one actually floats through air when they're fighting.
I'm not even...
You can't
I'm not
run,
complaining.
Like, you know, parallel to walls, but it's fun.
Like, no, I like it. And I wasn't using extra as, like, a, I wasn't saying anything bad. I was just, they are just so much.
It's a like, lot. But again, I think that's, like, a style thing.
Yeah. Like, in the beginning of the episode, when they're fighting on the bridge, like, what is he? I think he cuts someone's head off.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just so with throwing the knife. I'm like...
Anytime they do a beheading in this show, I'm just like, okay.
There's a surprisingly lot of beheadings.
Yeah. You know what I always think with these fight scenes is like, there's no way a sword can slice that cleanly through, like, bone, you know?
Like, that's true.
Like, it wouldn't be fun to see someone hacking away on a TV screen, so which is why they do it like that. But, like, you know, like, realistically, his head would just fly off. There's, like, stuff in there. Sorry, it's got really gross for a second. But, yeah. It's just like, when you behead someone, I don't think it's that easy, unless you have, like, a guillotine or something.
Yeah, they're not carrying lightsabers.
Yeah, it ain't no guillotine, where it's like, there's a lot of force and gravity. So, you know.
Ewy.
Anyway, I'll refrain from going more in-depth about that.
Thank you.
Yeah, any more stuff about Sunny and the rest?
I mean, they did the oldest trick in the book with, like, oh, I'm not gonna kill you, but I'm gonna turn around, then the other guy's gonna try and kill me, and then someone else is gonna save me, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, you mean when, like, Badgie had to kind of...
Yeah.
...help? Yeah.
Like, I'm not mad, but it is, like, one of those things that you see all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm gonna spare your life, and then turn around this dramatic moment, I am better than you, and then the person's like, no, and run after, and, like, try and kill them, and then somebody else is like, I've got my moment to shine, and, yeah.
I'm sorry, I know it's, like, again, I'm, like, the details are so fuzzy to me. I just remember they had a fight scene, and that, you know, Sunny, Badgie, and Daniel walked away, and no one else did. So
that's essentially all you need to know.
All you really need to know plot.
That's what you missed on Glee.
Because these are, because they're, like we said, they're just mooks. They're dispensable. Sorry,
yeah,
not dispensable, disposable. They're disposable mooks. I don't know why I said dispensable. Like they're gumballs or something. I really I really want to talk about Vale and Quinn if you're ready to move on to them.
Yeah, let's.
I've been ready to talk about them.
So, I was born ready.
So, the first scene we see with them is, I think, this creepy song, The Aquarium, is playing. It's a classical piece.
Mm-hmm.
While Quinn reads a bedtime story to Henry. And, I mean, whenever you use the aquarium, you're really going full out with the evil villain, like...
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, why would you pick the song for a lullaby song? But okay, Quinn, you do you. But let me look up the name of the composer, and I'll
put, I mean, that's just Quinn's M.O., though.
Sorry?
That's just Quinn's M.O.,
I don't even know, man. Like, I remember how we were both complaining about how they seemed to have forgotten about the tumor storyline, but no, they brought it back. Yeah. So yay, at least they addressed it.
Yeah, so I'm really glad that they addressed
it. Thank God.
I'm really, really happy. We can get into that. But, like, can we just say, Quinn looks like he constantly wants to eat Henry.
He
looks at him like he's a delicious little snack.
I think he's trying to convey evilness and villainy, but it comes across as a different kind of hunger.
Yeah. It's kind of weird.
Okay, so the song in question is from The Carnival of the Animals, which is supposed to be a humorous musical suite of 14 movements. I cannot pronounce the composer's name because I was a horrible French student, and I have not gotten any better since leaving high school. So I will just link.
We'll put it in the show notes.
But it's Camille Saint-Saëns.
Oh, you're gonna try anyway.
Or something like that. I don't remember what the E with the umlauts on top of it is supposed to be. But anyway. Chances are, if you live in a Western country, you have probably heard his aquarium piece before. I have a stupid story about this song, but I don't think I want to delve into it at this point. But just the short version would be, when I was in, like, sixth grade, I was part of this modern dance class, and we definitely did weird modern dances to this song. So yeah, I'll link to the music in the show notes. It's very like...
Oh, you're not going to link to your performance?
I don't have a video of the performance because it was more of an exercise, but...
That's disappointing.
What was I thinking? Oh yeah, the aquarium, it sounds a lot like the intro song for Beauty and the Beast, the Disney film.
Hmm.
So I don't know if you picked up on that when you were listening to it, if you were reminded of Beauty and the Beast. I honestly
did not.
But yeah, it's a great song, but it's creepy as hell. So I was just like, it's like, for me, the over-the-top part of this episode was them playing this music during that sequence. Because I'm like, really, guys? Like, we already know Quinn is evil. Do you really have to shove it in our face even more? And I suppose the answer was yes.
The answer is yes. The answer is always yes. I mean, we know that Quinn is evil.
Quinn knows Quinn is evil.
Everyone knows that Quinn is evil, but I don't know. It's just, I had some weird issues with this plot line.
Yeah, I don't, what is your end game with Henry, man? Honestly, Quinn. I mean,
Quinn's end game is that Henry will be the next Baron.
Which is so dumb.
Or at least the next Regent.
Which is so dumb.
Right. No, this is dumb. I'm not denying that. I think that's just... He's just going to raise him like a son. And that's kind of weird. For a lot of reasons, actually. But...
Yeah, it's so messed up. Ugh.
It is so twisted.
This is Quinn talking about, though.
We learn that Quinn regrets throwing Lydia out. So, that's something.
Yeah, I don't know if I really believe it, or I don't know if I really care. Because it's like, well, why does it matter, you know? Well, are they going to, you know, reunite during the season?
I think they are.
Probably.
But I think they're definitely going to reignite their flame.
Ugh. I just want Quinn to die already. Why is he still here?
It's so annoying. Ugh.
I mean, I think Vale... I love that Vale is, like, you know, two-timing him, and, you know, she's kind of slowly poisoning him, maybe, but she's definitely not treating the tumor, right?
Okay, so, like, I don't know much about tumors, but that seemed like a huge tumor.
First of all, my issue with the x-ray is that it looked like the most fake thing I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they didn't even try. It did. They just put some, like, circles on, like, an x-ray. But, whatever. It's supposed to look, quote-unquote, look bad. So it did look bad, because it was huge. But,
yeah,
it did not look realistic at all.
Okay, but the whole thing was that, like, Quinn was feeling the effects from the tumor last season.
Right.
And so, like, if his tumor is this freaking enormous, like, the size of my fist.
Yeah.
Shouldn't he be feeling, like, way more effects? Like, the headaches and all the other stuff? And...
Or something should be impaired?
Well, I mean, his brain is obviously twisted, but, like, no more so than we've seen before.
Right, he doesn't seem, like, to be impaired by the tumor. Like, it's not affecting his...
Yeah, which is super...
Speech or processing things. It doesn't make sense. What?
It doesn't really make that much sense.
Nope. I think they're doing this weird thing where it's just like, oh, the tumor's getting bigger, and all that means is that eventually he's going to die at some point. But it doesn't have any other bearing on any other thing in the plot, which is so dumb.
Yeah, that sounds like what they're doing. But the thing is though, without treatment, at the end of last season, he was supposed to, like, die really quickly. So, what?
Maybe Quinn just doesn't use those parts of his brain. I don't know, man.
Like, true that.
I don't know how to explain that.
That is the best explanation that I've heard, though. So.
I don't, but when we got to that part where it's like, well, first of all, Vale has a x-ray of a normal looking skull, right? I'm just thinking how, like, do you show him the same picture every time and he doesn't
catch
on?
That's what I was wondering.
You know what I mean?
Though she did have, like, the scissors or something, like, I don't
know.
Well,
unless you're x-raying your own head every week, which seems like a bad idea, but... You know, like,
yeah.
Are you just showing him the same photo? Because I feel like he would catch on at some point. Or maybe he doesn't. Maybe he's like, oh, this looks, you know, like it's me. And he just takes it for, like, at face value.
I don't know.
But, yeah, there are a lot I found questions. The whole thing, it's like, you're disposing of it with scissors. That seems to be a not secure way to dispose of it. Like, who takes out the trash? How do you know that they're not going to figure it out? And then, you know, the fact that, you know, she's about to destroy the evidence and she gets called away. I'm like, this means that someone's going to find it. It can only mean one thing. And this means that someone's going to find it. And you're going to be screwed.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it's hard to know at this point, but somebody's definitely going to find out.
Yeah. And that's not going to be good.
It is very much not going to be good. I wonder what the medicine that she's giving him is doing.
Making him think he's lucid when he's not. But again, he still acts lucid. He still acts like he's perfectly fine. So
that's what's weird. He's sure that he's getting better.
Right.
Like, he feels better.
Right.
So maybe it's just somehow dulling the symptoms. Maybe. I mean, it does make sense.
We don't know.
But
I mean, all we know is that Vale is, you know, she has a lot of skill in medicine, but we don't know what exactly that tincture is doing, so.
I don't know. Is he just going to keel over at some point?
I hope so.
That's so not dramatic, though.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. They didn't let him die last season, and they're not going to let him die without, like, at least a couple of good fight scenes, you know?
True that.
But I just want him to die.
Then we move over to Gabriel, who is that kid who tries to escape Quinn through the southbound tunnel, which gives Vale obviously some ideas, like, oh, maybe I could escape through the southbound tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
But we have Gabriel and Quinn face off, basically. Quinn playing his little mind games.
Yeah, I mean, wasn't that a part of it, though? Not a part. Sorry, let me clarify. When we see that he says it's a little challenge, right? If you can cut me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I can't remember what the rest of it was. But, like, you know, challenging him to be able to cut him. And he's not able to block it. And he looks a little bit disturbed. I think, doesn't that point to maybe, oh, something's wrong? Like, be it the tumor or something else.
See, I didn't take it that way at all. Huh. I thought, I really took it like Quinn almost had his groove back. Like, we had seen him try and manipulate, like, MK last season, and he had done a pretty crappy job.
No, but like, the reason why I interpreted it that way was he looked disturbed that he was cut. I didn't read it like he did not intend to get cut by this kid. So when he was cut and he wasn't expecting that, like, that was not part of his plan, he was disturbed because he was like, am I losing my touch? Why am I not able to dodge this kid? So I'm thinking, I'm interpreting that as, yes, the tumor is, it's at least kind of affecting his, like, reflexes.
Oh, see, I didn't read it that way at all. I read it like, he just wanted Gabriel to take the first step. He was letting him do this. He was letting him cut him and say, okay, you've drawn blood, you're basically, like, a man now or something, you know? Like, he's trying to, like, give him the confidence in the Baron and in himself, and trying to make, like, a loyal soldier out of him.
Yeah. I didn't see it that way because I thought, you know, Quinn would at least, like, to me, the way a man would prove himself to Quinn would be killing someone in battle, not just, like, you know, merely slashing him. That's, like, a fairly easy thing to do, and I don't see that as being, like, prestigious or anything.
But that's exactly why I thought it was great, is because, like, this kid is just a kid, and I don't think he's up for, like, I don't think he could stomach killing, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But cutting, like, a, you know, whatever, like, he could totally do that. Like, he's trying to, like, build him up to, like, gain the confidence to become, like, you know, certified killer.
Maybe.
I mean, I think either interpretation could stand. We'll see where Quinn takes this.
Yeah. Any more about Quinn or Vale?
I just Quinn really just did seem on his game to me. Like,
I think he's losing his touch because of the tumor.
I mean, that's what makes sense logically, because tumor, but I don't know. Like, the way that he gave, like, that sword to Gabriel, or, like, the dagger, whatever it was, he was really, like, trying to recruit him. Like,
he was really, I see that part. I just thought, I interpreted his reaction to being cut as he looked shocked and a little disturbed to me. He did not seem, like, it wasn't, like, an expression of, like, oh, everything's going to plan. This is... Quinn is a pretty easy book to read. Like, I feel like he doesn't really hide his emotions very well. So, I saw shock, and that's how I interpreted it. But we will find out. And also, can I just make a quick note and say that Henry is adorable?
Oh, my God. So cute.
I know. I might have mentioned this in the previous episode, but he is so adorable.
He is so cute.
Protect him at all costs.
Yes.
Seriously, though. Like, and Quinn is so gross. Please get him away from that guy.
Oh, yeah, and when he was, Quinn was saying, like, you know, we all pay for our sins, except for those of us who are still pure.
Ugh.
And, like,
shut up.
Ew. Ugh.
You're so gross.
No. It's. Quinn is just not. I mean, Quinn has never been my favorite character. He just doesn't have, like, the meat, you know?
Like, I mean, it's dimensions. At least be a villain that's, like, I don't know, entertaining or interesting. You're just so one note, man. Like, I just don't find him to be an enjoyable villain, if that makes sense.
No, I agree. I kind of wish he had stayed dead. I don't know if that's, like, a common fandom opinion, because I haven't really been keeping up with the fandom, but I definitely even a wish fandom? He had stayed dead.
I know people watch a show. I don't think there's, like, a really big fandom around Badlands, though.
I mean, a little, presumably. There's always a fandom for something. There was probably a fandom for cardboard boxes. But so I'll move on unless you have anything else.
Yeah, I'm ready to move on to...
We have the Widow and we have MK.
Widow, MK, and we got like a brief glimpse of Ryder and Jade, I think, right?
Well, yeah, that was kind of like at the end of Widow's plot.
Yep.
So we can just go to the Widow. I mean, she... has to play her political games, and we really don't see any progress in this plot line. We just see like a development of characters. We get kind of a better look at who she is.
And then Tilda's all like, why won't you let me be your second or your regent or whatever?
Let's be real here. You're okay,
a teenaged girl.
The fact that you're her regent is ridiculous.
Yeah. Waldo makes so much more sense.
Yeah, well, not as a regent. I don't think he'd be a great regent, but...
Isn't he essentially her regent, though?
Well, like, a regent is, like, an ultimate bodyguard, almost, as well. And although he's very, like, able to fight, he isn't as mobile.
True. Well, which is why they're kind of... It's like, she kind of has both of them as her regent, right? In a weird way.
I think that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But... I don't know if Tilda would have been my choice anyway, but...
Right, but, like, whatever. Who else does a widow trust? Not really anyone else.
I guess, yeah. She needs to trust some people. Open up her heart. But... I was glad that they dropped Waldo. They didn't drop Waldo. They name-dropped Waldo.
Uh-huh.
Like...
Oh, so we could remember what his name was.
Yeah, because you know... We talked about it last episode. We were like, what is that guy's name? And, you know, we talked about it, and I still didn't look it up because I still did not care.
Yeah, so, when I said his name earlier this episode, that was a guess, and then I scrolled down and saw that it was correct on Internet Movie Database, and I was like, yes.
I wrote it down because I was like, I know I'm going to forget it again. I know it starts with a W.
But yeah, I mean, it was interesting to see that Tilda was getting very, I guess, like, hurt and upset about the Widow picking Waldo over her for this particular mission. But, I mean, Waldo did best her in the previous episode.
Yeah, so. No, it totally makes sense. I think Tilda's just being... I think she's kind of insecure.
She's a teenage girl.
Well, yeah. Okay. there are a lot of reasons she's insecure then.
Yeah.
But as the regent, you know, she's young. She's probably just taken over, you know, not that long ago. And they just recently took over the oil fields again. So she hasn't had as much of, like, a responsibility.
Right.
So she wants to prove herself.
Yeah. Well, I also find it interesting, like, that, you know, she's always kind of been, or it seems like for a long time now, she's been the widow's, like, number two, right?
Yeah.
So the fact that she's kind of symbolically being demoted, or, you know, placed on the, or, like, or rather, I guess Waldo's been promoted, is kind of, like, yeah, it's a little threatening, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting to see that.
I really liked how the widow asked Tilda to hold on to the swords, though.
Right.
Like, that was, I don't know if that was the widow, like, being like, oh, Tilda isn't, like, totally into this, let me show her that I trust her, or if it was, like, just a legitimate, like, I trust you with these. But either way, I thought it was, like, a really interesting moment into the widow's psyche.
Yeah. And then, remind me, who was playing, I wrote down a note about a piano, but was that Waldo playing the piano?
Yeah, Waldo's right. Playing the piano.
Okay. My only note about that was that the piano seems very, very echoey for the space that it was in. But that's just me nitpicking, per usual. So, whatever.
It's so funny. I would have never... I could watch the episode 15 times.
It just bothered me, man. I was like, why is this piano so echoey?
I would have never picked up on that.
Anyway, stupid, you know, little note, but...
Not stupid. It's interesting.
No. Mm-hmm.
So, just simple. Easy. My next note is Widow is steampunk goddess.
I mean, she's always been.
But even more so, I don't know if she's just gotten more beautiful or just her outfits have just, like, checked up, but they are.
They seem a little classier nowadays, but.
Yeah.
I don't know. She seemed a little bit more like eye candy in season one.
Yeah.
I think it might have a lot to do with her costuming and her hair. Her hair seemed more, I guess, like, longer, and, like, she seemed to be more trying to be, like, I don't know. She's always been, like, a femme fatale, but I feel like she was sultrier in season one, so I feel like she's a little bit more composed and less fan service-y this season.
Yeah. I haven't really looked up, like, how who's been doing the writing and whether, like, it's, like, the same people as last season or what, but I think I'll probably look that up, like, probably after we record, because, I don't know, the Widow always just, there was something very off about her portrayal, the writing, at least. It was just, never felt very genuine. Something about her was just not quite right. Like, it was very, like, we talked about, it was, like, kind of, like, fake feminism, like.
Yeah.
But
it's... It was, like, the feminism that men think feminism is.
Yeah, exactly. And it's been a lot better this season.
Well, I'm looking up the writers right now. This looks... LaToya, I think, is a woman's name. I'm pretty sure LaToya is a woman's name.
Yeah, it is.
So, let's see. Yes, she was the, she was a supervising producer for, I think, all the episodes of season two. So that's helpful when you have a woman on the writing team. I'm trying to see who else here has an obviously female name.
No, I'd just be interested to compare and contrast, like, who's part of, like, the team season one versus season two.
Yeah, I'm looking at the series writing credits on Internet Movie Database. There's two men who have done all the episodes. LaToya Morgan, who I just mentioned, did 8 episodes, which I believe are all season two. And then everyone else, they only did, like, 2 or 1 episodes. So it's 2 guys, and then LaToya jumped onto the writing crew in season two, and things have changed.
Okay, well, I'm going to definitely look her up after this episode.
Props to this woman. It seems like, you know, when the writing gets better, the show is better. So
no, definitely.
It looks like the fact that she, you know, was a new addition to season two. Yeah.
A plus.
A plus. Let's see. She's also done writing for...
The writing's noticeably better.
She's done writing for Shameless, like, Parenthood, American Horror Story, Video Short, what other... Turn, Washington Spies, which people were into it, to that show.
No, these are some, like, high-quality shows.
Yeah. So, I don't... I mean, I can't say that I know for certain that this woman... is the, I mean, I'm sure she's not the sole reason why season two is better, but you know, the fact that she is the, like, she is the new writer,
the change
for this season,
yeah,
and the writing seems better. I feel like that's
writing
probably
seems
attributable
so
to
much
her.
Better. Yeah, I'm gonna give her credit even if it's not her.
Yay, LaToya!
So. Yay, LaToya! So back to Waldo.
Yes.
So Widow gets to, I guess it's Jacoby's mansion. That's where Ryder and, Jader hold up. And she gets taken there by, like, this motorcycle doll brigade. And, like, it looks so cool. I don't know if just, we don't see enough girls riding motorcycles, but it's just, something about it is just, it was good.
I wrote, because this is me being super ridiculously detail-oriented about the wrong things, those roads are extremely well-maintained. Like, you would think in a post-apocalyptic world that all the asphalt would be cracked and stuff, you know? But no,
that's
it
true.
Looks like it was literally paved the day before.
Good point.
I don't know how they're maintaining the roads, but okay.
Yeah.
Whereas you focus on the actual people. And I was just, like, looking at the looking at the asphalt.
I mean, just to appreciate the symmetry for, like, a quick second. I mean, you know how I love the Armadillo Clan and their symmetry. But, like,
you
the way that
symmetry.
The Clippers were aligned, like, around the building, I was just so into it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and just side note, the heels that the Widow was wearing at that last scene were so gorgeous. Just saying. That's it.
That's, yeah, sorry. I was just, something's weird about my audio, and I don't know why it's weird. But I'm just going to ignore it for now. I was looking
That's how I deal with all of my problems.
I was looking up the actor who plays Waldo. His name is Stephen Lang, and he was in Avatar, and he's going to be in the next, in Avatars 2, 3, and 4, because apparently they're all in pre-production right now. So that's ridiculous. You like that movie?
Oh my god. No. That wasn't what I was gasping at, but I've seen the first Avatar, and I realized, oh, I know who he was in Avatar.
Miles Quartridge? I don't remember anything from Avatar, man.
It was like a collective dream.
It was
you
such
know?
A forgettable, like, movie.
It's so weird that, like, it's like the largest grossing movie of all time still, right?
I think so, yeah. But
and,
no
like,
one
nobody
remembers
knows
it.
Anything about
Some,
it.
Some, like, weird Inception level-ish right there.
Like, how can nobody, like, it didn't,
it's such a
nothing
forgettable
came
movie.
Of it. It is so weird, but...
Oh, snap! The woman... Sorry, I'm just going through the credits now, because, again, I found this episode really lackluster. But the woman who plays the Master, she was in Sherlock for a hot second. She was in the Hounds of Baskerville episode.
Oh.
As a presenter.
Okay.
I don't know what that means. Maybe she was on, like, the news channel in the episode or something. I want to know how old Nick Frost is. If Daniel Wu is 43. Oh, Nick Frost is only, like, he's, like, 40.
You can do this math, Maggie.
Hold up. Let me do the math. I want to be right. God. And I know if I go on Wikipedia, it'll give me the number, but I didn't go on Wikipedia, so. Nick Frost is 45.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so that makes, yeah. Again, like, it's nice to see him relating to someone his age, you know, not just like palling around with MK.
They can
or
be
something.
BFFs. BFFs. BFFs.
That's all I want to look up how old everyone is, but I'm going to stop myself. Okay.
Do you have anything else about the widow?
About the widow? Yeah, I can agree with you that she seems to be a more realistic, I guess, character this mm-hmm. season. She's still kind of, like, over the top to me.
She's over the top, but at least she's, like, motivated properly now.
Yeah, it's not this weird faux feminism BS or anything. Yeah. Which is nice.
No, I definitely appreciate it.
Yeah. So, we talked about Tilda, we talked about the widow. Waldo
MK.
Is, like, this is apparently his, like, he's seeing this as his chance to shine, right?
Yeah, he's like, this is my moment.
He's like, I know all the players, been around the block, I got this.
And honestly, he does.
Yeah, and he's like, you know what? If we all die, that's fine by me. I mean, he's obviously not going to, like, let that happen, but he's like,
yeah, no.
You know, if we go out in a blaze of glory, we go out in a blaze of glory.
Like, there's only so much you can control. And so he's like, this is a calculated risk, and I'm willing to take it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he's a very powerful ally for the widow to have, and I'm really looking forward to the next episode when we see if, like, the widow can actually pull it off.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm looking at the cast list, and I can see how many episodes people have been in so far, so now I'm like, oh, spoilers, whatever.
I never look at pages like that until I finish.
Yeah. Any notes about, I guess, Jade or Ryder?
Their outfits were amazing, but that's it.
I agree. And interesting choice to be like, yes, come into our homes. Because yeah. We all know how that, you know, that always ends well, right?
It always ends well. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I know we didn't get any Lydia because she's been, I guess, doubly banished at this point. I don't know what she's doing right now.
Super banished.
But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how if and how she runs into Quinn again. That seems to be where the story is tracking towards.
Yeah. Yeah, ugh. I just remember Quinn having relations with Jade and now eked out.
Gross. Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about MK.
Yeah, no, that's the last piece.
Mm-hmm.
So he's doing his thing. Anything else about anyone else before we move on to...
I don't think so. Again, I really didn't have any notes on this episode, so...
Monkey King. So MK's... he practices by the waterfall, which is pretty, but uneventful. And so, like, the last time we left him, he has been... you know, trying to confront his past in the mirror chamber, but he wants to go back and learn what happened to his mother, but the master won't let him back in.
Because she's saying, like, you could actually die.
Yeah.
Or be severely injured in these sessions.
Yeah, exactly. Which makes sense, because it didn't end super well for him last time.
But does MK ever think about the consequences of anything?
Literally no. Never. Never, ever. Like, we all knew what he was going to do next.
Yeah,
like,
we did.
Like, oh my god.
We did.
MK, dude. Anyway. But there was a cool moment where the master said, it's a long road, don't look for shortcuts.
Oh yeah, and then the whole... I like how that tied into the whole, like... Wasn't Badgie trying to find a shortcut?
Yeah,
Badgie was looking for a shortcut. That little callback.
That was a really, like, cool moment.
Yeah.
Like, trying to interconnect the plots, I liked that. Oh, this is what I wrote down. Who is surprised that MK is going to the mirror room by himself?
No one.
Literally no one. Literally no one. But he doesn't really get there, because he goes to a weird modern basement instead.
Yeah, modern basement. This show, its anachronistic properties are so wild. Like, we talked about this in the previous season.
Yeah.
But it's just so, it's such a mishmash.
Like, but what I like about it, though, is, like, when it decides, like, oh, this, like, scene is going to be, like, this aesthetic, it, like, commits so hard.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, the show itself has very mixing, like, looks.
Sure.
But in each scene, it is, like, it's so committed.
It's consistent in the scene, yeah.
It's just, it's a weird mishmash. when taken as a whole.
Right.
It's weird. So they go to this weird basement, and it's that kid who ran away, whatever his name is.
Right, we knew we were going to see him again. What was his name?
Tate?
I'm going to look it up.
I don't know. Something like that.
Let's see, full cast list.
But they open, they bring the trunk, which they brought MK in, the end of last season. Yeah, his name is Tate. Hmm?
Tate. Played by Jordan Bolger.
Mm-hmm.
Who, I don't know these other weird things he's been in. Is he a Brit?
How old is he?
He looks to be around our age, but I don't
That's
know.
What I was thinking. He's cute. Anyway. So he watches like this torture scene, MK, of Tate, and the monks say that they're going to take away the cause of your pain, whatever that means. Like, okay.
Yeah, he's an English actor.
Oh.
Let's see. Why won't you tell me your age?
It doesn't matter. It really doesn't.
I just want to know. But he has an Insta, so he's definitely around our age.
So MK is, like, spying on this, like, torture scene.
Yeah.
But, like, what is going on?
Oh, he's 22.
Okay.
Right, what is going on in the scene?
Yeah.
Well, it looks like he's getting his powers extracted from him.
Like...
Did that confuse you?
No. No, I got that. But, like... I don't understand the monks.
Does anyone?
Like
their purpose their mission is, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little strange, right? It's like, okay, well, we're going to abduct you now so we can train you to how to use your powers. But if you disobey us, I guess we're going to take away your powers.
Yeah.
But also, and it's like, why are they keeping around all those other kids, you know, who apparently are of no use to them? Because they're waiting for someone like MK, right? Someone who has enough power or whatever potential to train.
It's, yeah.
But what is your end game?
Yeah, no. They had never, especially the Master. Like, the Master never, like, struck me as a bad person.
Right.
She might have, like, some questionable motivations or goals, but... She never struck me, like, as bad. But then, like, MK's like, the Master's a liar. She's afraid of us. And I'm like, I don't know if you're just being twisted, MK, or...
I mean...
I just...
It's not that MK knows this, but he did, you know, break her bones, or a bone, and severely injure her. And so, like, there's some merit to what he's saying, even though he might not know it.
Right, but then what is making him say it if he doesn't even know that?
Well, we've talked about the show's writing.
And, like, it doesn't... The fact that she hid that he broke her bones, like, that doesn't necessarily come from a bad place.
Right.
It's just, like, you know, like, when, like, a parent tries to seem invincible.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe...
Yeah,
that's
I guess.
The way that I took it the first time I saw it.
Sure.
But now I'm a little like, something's suspicious.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely a possible interpretation. We really don't know what the Master's motivation is. I guess I just wonder, why are they keeping all the other kids around, you know? Like, surely it takes a lot of energy and resources to keep everyone fed and training, right? So why keep them around? Just to be mooks or something?
I mean, they're all special. They all have the gift. They might not be as, like, powerful as MK, but they all are something.
Right. But it doesn't seem like they're being, I guess, used in any way. If that sounds kind of wrong, but...
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, they're not being utilized. Like, it looks like MK, they're going to try to utilize them for something, but it doesn't really look like, other than training, we don't really see them do... Anything?
I mean, okay, so if the monks are, like, good guys, right?
Sorry?
Let's just say that the monks are good guys.
Mm-hmm.
They take care of these kids with this gift because they are dangerous and they deserve to live a life of fulfillment, but in a way that they can control their gift instead of letting it control them.
Okay.
So that's if the monks are, like, super good guys, which I don't believe. Mm-hmm. But that's why I thought, or you could interpret why they keep them around. If they're, like, turn out to be, like, huge, every word I think of here is a swear, jerks, then, no, it doesn't really make any sense.
Right. But I don't trust them, so.
I don't trust them either. Trust no one.
Trust no one. It's interesting that MK is trying to recruit this girl to his side or his way of thinking.
I remember when I was like, I don't want them to be a romantic couple. I don't want them to be a love interest
either. Ugh. Why are you going this road, man?
Because it's TV. Ugh. And we have to.
Oh.
What's the probability that Tilda and this girl has a fight scene?
That'd be great, though. I'm not gonna lie. I would kind of live for that. But, like, no. What? MK. But whatever. I guess these are normal teenage children. So they're gonna do what normal teenagers do.
And have a love triangle like all normal teenagers.
Well, I don't know if I'm gonna say that. But, yeah. I'm just like, ugh, I'm over it. Like, I like the idea of Tilda and MK being together. I don't hate this girl. I just don't, like, there was no build-up, so I don't care as much, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, presumably they've actually spent a lot of time together, probably more right, than MK and Tilda. Right, but we didn't see
it, so it's right, like, exactly. Why do we care? And the exactly. answer is we don't.
That is true. And, you know, MK and Tilda is still endgame, presumably, but...
Right.
There might be some drama first. You never know.
Yeah. Although this kind of, for me, finally answered how it's possible that the Widow lost her power if she previously had it, right? Because the Widow in the previous season had mentioned that she used to have the same power that MK did, but she lost it. And now we see, this is maybe she didn't lose it in this particular way, or from these, like, the monks. Maybe the monks weren't responsible, but mm-hmm. it's possible, right, that the monks took away her power. And she was cast out like the sky.
That's a really interesting point. I didn't think of that.
Yeah. So that was like that's the one intriguing thing that I found about this episode. Was that, we finally have a, like, because that was such a throwaway. It felt like a throwaway thing she said last season. But now it's like, this
makes sense. That would be really cool. That would be a really cool way to tie everything together. I hope that's how it is, actually.
Because I don't know who else knows about these... knows about the dark ones, as Lydia's father would say. We don't know anyone else who knows about these. I mean, other than, like, I guess Lydia's dad knows that, or calls them the dark ones. We don't see them interacting with really any other people other than the monks. So, and they do have this weird technology, right, that extracts their powers or nullifies it or whatever.
That was really, like... it wasn't out of place in the scene, but, like, it's still out of place in this post-apocalyptic world. Like, why do you have this torture machine thing?
It just didn't... I think the fact that it was such a... it looked so modern compared to everything else is also kind of a little bit off-putting.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if Vale had, like, equipment that looked like that? You know what I mean?
She would be, like, the best doctor in the Wild West.
Yeah. I don't really have any other notes on this show.
You know... neither do I. Okay. Like, I didn't dislike this episode, you know? And if I was binge-watching this show, I would not even think anything bad about this episode. If I was binge-watching it, it was fine, because I think the first episode and second episode were really, really solid. This one was a little more filler, but it kind of took the characters where they needed them to go. You know, everyone's still kind of going on their own path now, and this is just setting a lot of things in motion, and a lot of TV episodes need filler episodes like this.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that, you know, we've been watching, like, week to week, and we record, you know, a podcast about it, it was kind of lackluster.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm hoping things pick up a little bit more in the next episode. I'm sure they will. I mean, it's a pretty action-filled show, so it's not like But they were like really like super super boring episodes because there's always some kind of action or something. But yeah, plot wise, it just felt like things were kind of moving slower than usual in this episode compared to the rest of the season.
Yeah, this had good fight sequences. Like the one between Nathaniel and Sunny, that was good. Right. I really liked that. It was interesting. And the beginning like, they were climbing fight was on good stuff.
Too, yeah.
Yeah, the bridge scene. It was a good episode that way, but yeah, just nothing was happening in terms of like the long term plot.
Yeah, we just got like a couple like explanations for certain things, but that was really it. And like setup. I mean, we know next episode is gonna be like the Widow and Waldo fighting like all the other barons, so that should be really fun.
Yeah, that should be a really good thing. And like,
and wasn't Quinn planning on hijacking this meeting too? Wasn't that like alluded to or something? Because that would be amazing.
I would really like that to happen, but I feel like they're just gonna milk Quinn in the darkness for a little longer.
But that would be so fun if Quinn just decided to like debut,
hey, y'all.
Or not debut, but like, you know, schedule his return for this big. I mean, it's kind of like a debut,
re-debut. Yeah, it is. It's like, hey guys, I know you thought I was dead, but guess what? Back.
I just think it's so dumb that no one ever thought, let's, you know, verify that he's dead. Like, think that these people in the Badlands are so paranoid or power hungry or both that they would, you know, check these things.
You would think. I mean, Ryder gets the credit for killing Quinn, so it's presumably on him.
Again, but I like barely remembered how he was supposed to die in the last season.
Huh?
I don't even remember how he quote-unquote died. Or like, didn't die.
Sunny killed him.
Oh, okay.
And that's what's so frustrating about it. Like, you really think that Sunny, who's killed 404 people, doesn't know how to kill one person?
Ugh. So frustrating.
No. The answer's no. It doesn't make any sense.
Nope.
I'm just letting it go because otherwise I'm going to be angry all the time.
About it forever. But yeah. Quinn is apparently indestructible.
Looking forward to the next episode. But this one happened.
Yeah. So, on to the next. Which is called, what is the next episode called? I want to look at the name. Let's see. And we're not covering that one next week. I believe we're going to, I don't know if we're going to be doing a movie or Sense8, but Sense8's back, y'all. So
yay!
If we do Sense8 next week, that'll be really fun.
Sense8's back. All right. I don't know why I did that.
What's the next episode?
It's that time of night.
Why can't I find it? Let's see. Let me scroll down and around. Season 2.
We are so professional.
I am the most professional. It's called Palm of the Iron Fox.
That's not vague.
Foxes don't have palms. But whatever.
Maggie.
I know. None of these freaking names make sense.
None of them make any sense.
Wait, just for fun, let's look at the season 1 titles real quick. The Fort, Fist Like a Bullet, White Stork Spreads Wings, Two Tigers Subdue Dragons, Snake Creeps Down, Hand of the Five Poisons. Okay. I mean, those names are still silly, but better
They're
than
silly,
Palm
but
of the Iron Fox.
Like, I get what they're referring to now, mostly.
Eh.
I think. Actually, no.
No. You know what would be great to see again? Zephyr.
Yeah. Every time you mention her, I completely forgotten that she exists, but I really liked her when we saw her.
Yeah, I just remembered her because I was scrolling through the credits, and same thing, I forgot that she existed, saw her in the credits, and was like, oh yeah, this chick.
But that's all I have.
Yeah, so maybe we'll be doing Sense8 next week, maybe we'll be doing another movie. It's up in the air. What are you thinking right now, Melissa?
Sense8.
Kind of lean more towards Sense8, because it's been such a long time. So expect Sense8. So we'll be covering Sense8 for a couple episodes, I believe, and then we'll probably switch back to Badlands. So thank you for listening. And again, please check us out on Facebook, Tumblr, Twitter. You can email us your suggestions of what to watch after we're done with Sense8 and Into the Badlands. And we will talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.